It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, this weekend marked the 400th anniversary of the death of William Shakespeare. We'll take your calls on whether you love the Bard and his plays until the end of your days, or if you think he's, I don't know, a little bit overrated.
First, the campaigns of Senator Ted Cruz and Ohio Governor John Kasich released written statements last night about working together to stop businessman Donald Trump from getting the Republican presidential nomination. The statements detailed a plan in which Kasich stops campaigning in Indiana to clear the way for Cruz, and Cruz in turn would stop competing in New Mexico in order to make way for Kasich in those states. They called on third-party groups to follow suit.
Tim Alberta is with us now to talk about the news. He's chief political correspondent for the National Review. Tim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, my pleasure.
Well, Tim, can you talk us through this arrangement? How far are they cooperating? How far are they not cooperating?
Well, the arrangement, you know, this is a little bit like evaluating a trade in Major League Baseball or in the NBA, right? You look at what both sides got, and in this case, the Cruz campaign had to give up something in order to get a clear path in Indiana. So they give up New Mexico and they give up Oregon. But guys, really, you look at this, and this is all about Indiana. I mean, honestly, this is, the Oregon and New Mexico parts of this equation are almost entirely meaningless because those are two states where the delegates are awarded or allocated proportionally based on the statewide vote. So you're not going to have, even if Ted Cruz finishes with 15% of the vote, he's still going to win some delegates there. Indiana, on the other hand, awards its delegates very aggressively, winner-take-all statewide and then winner-take-all by congressional districts. So Kasich pulling out of Indiana is a concession, A, that he can't win in that state, that he can't really compete for many delegates in that state, because if he could, there's no way he'd be pulling out. And B, it's an acknowledgement that if Donald Trump wins Indiana, or if he walks away with the vast majority of delegates from Indiana, that he could very well be unstoppable moving forward. So, you know, the Cruz campaign allowed the Kasich folks to kind of save face by giving them Oregon and New Mexico as kind of a small, you know, wink and a nod consolation prize. But really, this all boils down to Indiana.
Let's look at the state of play in Indiana. Last I've heard, it was pretty close between Cruz and Trump there. What are you seeing?
Well, there's been very little public polling up until recently, but what we've seen in internal polling that we've obtained in our reporting over the last 3 or 4 weeks has been pretty consistent, and that is Trump in the low to mid-30s and Cruz in sort of the high 20s to low 30s. So actually, it's very similar, the dynamic in Indiana, to what it was in Wisconsin, in your home state, about a month ago, where you looked a week and a half, 2 weeks out from the election in Wisconsin, and Cruz was, you know, anywhere from 5 to 12 points behind Donald Trump. And that was really before the full pro-Cruz and anti-Trump efforts kind of took root in the state with, you know, dozens of paid volunteers, millions of dollars of anti-Trump ads blanketing the airwaves, the full Cruz ground game, both paid and unpaid, and campaign and super PAC. So what we're seeing now in Indiana is actually pretty closely tracking with what we saw in Wisconsin. And, of course, those two states are not terribly dissimilar, especially in terms of the makeup of the Republican voting universes. So I think the sort of playbook, the blueprint that the Cruz folks used in Wisconsin was very effective. They're hoping they can reapply it in Indiana. And really, you know, where those two candidates are at this point out from Indiana and where they were at this point out from Wisconsin is eerily similar. So the Cruz people are kind of clinging to that at the moment.
Our Republican governor here in Wisconsin, by the time our primaries happened, had very enthusiastically supported Ted Cruz against Donald Trump. Anything like that going on in Indiana?
Well, so far, no. And that is much to the chagrin of the Cruz campaign. So actually, the governor of Indiana, Mike Pence, had a sit down with Donald Trump, and that was sort of a nod to, you know, some of the Tea Party folks in the state, or some of the very, you know, fervent pro-Trump Republicans in the state of Indiana. Mike Pence is up for re-election this year, and he is not as popular as one would think a sitting Republican governor would be in a red state like Indiana. He's got a little bit of a challenge on his hands, and he is expected to win re-election in the fall, but he needs those, you know, Trump supporters to show up for him in November. So he's really gone out of his way to kind of tiptoe around the Trump issue. What's interesting is that people who were close to Pence, who, of course, for a long time was a congressman here in Washington, D.C., and folks who know him well say that he can't stand Trump, that he kind of abhors everything that Trump stands for, but that he is not going to kind of stick his neck out on the line and endorse Cruz the way that Scott Walker did. So that's kind of an interesting, you know, for all the talk of the parallels between the two states, that is certainly one area where there appears to be a break. Ted Cruz did have a private sit-down with Mike Pence last week. He also has had phone calls with him prior to that, but it does not look like, as of now anyway, that Governor Pence is going to change his mind and go out and endorse Cruz.
Talking to Tim Alberta from the National Review about a deal, agreement, a coordination effort released this weekend. Candidates John Kasich, Ted Cruz saying, hey, I'll focus here, you focus there. Hopefully we'll keep Donald Trump, they're thinking, from winning enough delegates. Well, is this thing going to work, Tim? Could enough people be swayed, I guess, from the Kasich camp to the Cruz camp to overcome that slight deficit he has behind Donald Trump?
Well, it could work, you know, and if it doesn't, I think there's going to be a lot of second guessing about why it took so long for this to take place. Because, it, you know, keep in mind, it's not just the month's worth of contests that are in the rearview mirror, but how about tomorrow? I mean, you have five elections tomorrow in the Northeast, and had Cruz and Kasich come to this kind of agreement a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I think it's very possible that they could have, you know, taken from Donald Trump an additional, say, 20 to 25 delegates tomorrow, and that could make all the difference. So it's very interesting that it took this long, and I think, again, the Cruz folks and the Kasich folks, despite their many differences, despite their rivalry throughout this campaign, despite some, you know, some sniping back and forth, I think they, you know, both camps can now see the math pretty plainly here, and they realize that if Indiana gets away from them both, then really it doesn't matter what happens moving forward, because Donald Trump is going to be in a very good position to hit the magic number he needs to win the nomination. So it can work, and they had better hope it does work, because if it doesn't, they're going to be facing a whole lot of backlash from Republicans who are going to wonder, you know, why ego and pride seemingly got in the way of reaching this kind of arrangement, you know, several weeks prior.
Well, we saw something like this when Marco Rubio said, hey, let's do this to John Kasich. You take Ohio, I'll take Florida. We won't try to compete. John Kasich didn't seem to want to have anything to do with that. And whatever happened, it didn't seem to help Marco Rubio any. So maybe that's the example. People thought it just wasn't going to work.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting, of course, Kasich did win Ohio and by a bigger margin than anyone could have expected. But yeah, it didn't do much, you know. Kasich didn't really help Rubio any in Florida. And, you know, I do think it's interesting when you study Indiana. You know, the key, I think, to winning Wisconsin for Cruz, despite everything else that was discussed and analyzed in the aftermath of the victory there on April the 5th, you know, if you look at Kasich's underperformance in the wild counties there around Milwaukee, I think that was really the most critical aspect of Cruz's statewide victory, because if Kasich even hits respectable numbers, 25%, say, of the vote in those three suburban Milwaukee counties, then Cruz suddenly might be in trouble statewide. He probably still wins, but by a very, 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 very narrow margin. And that was the anticipation, that was the expectation, really, around all the different campaigns. The Cruz folks, up until primary day, were fearful, and they were dropping hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of anti-Kasich mailers in the Milwaukee suburbs, fearful that Kasich could peel away a significant chunk of those, you know, affluent, upper-middle-class, white-collar voters. And instead, Kasich underperformed so badly there that Cruz wound up running away with the state. So I think that what we're seeing now, this arrangement between those two campaigns, could be very significant in the Indianapolis suburbs and then up in, you know, northwest Indiana in the Chicago suburbs, which are home to a lot of those same kinds of voters. And that's where Kasich would have naturally pulled very strongly. If Kasich can go from, you know, 25 or 30% in those areas where he is right now, all the way down to, you know, 15% or so where he wound up in those Milwaukee suburbs, then I think Cruz is probably in pretty good shape in Indiana. But, you know, those two states, for all their similarities, again, there's absolutely no guarantee that one is going to shake out the same as the other.
Now, here's a weird thing. We haven't talked directly about Donald Trump. Us being in 2016, we always seem to. So let's give a listen to his reaction to this deal. He's at a rally in Rhode Island here.
And actually, I was happy because it shows how weak they are. It shows how pathetic they are.
So Trump's play here is to try to get to that 1,237 magic number of delegates coming into the competition. What does he need to do to avoid the divide and conquer strategy here?
Well, you know, I think that he's going to do very well tomorrow in these five northeastern states, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, where he obviously was speaking there, Delaware and Connecticut and Maryland as well. I think that, you know, of the 118 bound delegates that are up for grabs tomorrow, I think you probably see Trump win, you know, upwards of 90 of them, maybe even upwards of 100 of them. So he's going to do well tomorrow. I think the question moving forward is how much money does he want to spend in the state of Indiana? Again, everybody can see the math here. Everybody can see the writing on the wall. It's not just the Cruz and the Kasich folks. The Trump people are very much aware that if they can somehow pull off a statewide win in Indiana, they would get those 30 delegates statewide. And then if they can even win, you know, five or six of the congressional districts, then they get, you know, another 15 or 18 delegates. If they walk away from Indiana with nearly 50 delegates, this might be game over. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, on the one hand, as I said at the outset, the Cruz and Kasich strategy here is all about Indiana. And I think Trump and his folks are going to be smart enough to realize that. So do they counter it by going totally all in on Indiana? Did they decide to pump, you know, $5 or $6 million worth of spending on the airwaves into the state? That's a decision that I think they're going to have to make pretty quickly, and that's going to be one of the biggest tactical questions here that remains unanswered of the entire primary season.
Tim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
That's Tim Alberta, chief political correspondent for the National Review. Join us to talk about the agreement between Senator Ted Cruz and Governor John Kasich to work together in an attempt to deny Donald Trump the Republican presidential nomination.